I'm doing pretty well. Episode 20.
In the can.
Big twank.
Big twink?
Twank.
Oh.
As in twanky.
That still sounds
like... As in venti. I don't know the Spanish.
That is Spanish.
What, venti?
Isn't it? Viente.
Oh, well, I was thinking Italian.
Right?
I was thinking Starbucks.
I don't know. What are we even talking about?
It's episode 20.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
So,
things I need to know.
We're not coming back.
We're done.
We're done forever. This is it. Episode 20 is a good one to go out on. Now, we're taking next week off. We deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve a break.
You do. 20 in a row is pretty good.
Yeah.
We're going to enjoy our holiday, or not. We may hate it, but we're still not going to be here.
Point is,
we're going to have some content available. We've got a commentary coming up for Jack Frost.
Oh boy.
Not the Michael Keaton, but the horror Jack Frost about the killer mutant snowman.
Yeah.
We will have a Home Alone playthrough.
Hopefully.
Yep. Yeah.
Homefully.
Why wouldn't we? You gonna bail on me?
Well, if something comes up. Sharks. Squatches.
Land sharks. And possibly a mini episode concerning Silent Night, Deadly Night, and its horrible remake.
We need to address this.
That's what's coming up. Also, you can go vote, as Cameron mentioned, on our Christmas contest. Still happening. That's it, man.
That's it. All you need to do now is to listen and enjoy. I think this is the episode where we had the most nerdgasms for Roundtable.
Yes, and it was a great Roundtable. It was a great episode.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that just to get you to listen. If you've listened this far, you're probably going to listen to the whole episode anyway.
Right, right. You're just driving, baby, or doing dishes. That's what I do when I listen.
Do you? Listen to your dishes?
Yeah, totally. It makes it way better.
I don't listen to them.
You should.
But should I?
I'm saying podcasts in general I listen to when I'm cleaning.
I do when I, like, before I go to bed.
Yeah.
I started listening to How This Get Made.
Yeah.
Started with Jingle All The Way. Holy shit.
Yes.
Anyway, shout out to them. Go check them out. But yeah, enjoy the show. And
rate and review on iTunes.
Yes, we will catch y'all at the end of the month for our Biggie Awards, which is our year-end wrap-up. Goodness.
Let's do it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
That too.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 20 of We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show. Woo! See, you fucked up.
It misfired.
There we go.
Yeah, very awful. Quiet, but you know.
Awful, shitty, quiet. Shitty. Shitty, quiet, awful, terrible. Fucking shitty. Let's get our swear quotient in right away.
I think we're there.
Fuck, piss, shit, tits.
Dickens? Like chickens? Chicken Dickens?
Dick made it to 20 episodes.
Dick Dynasty.
Holy shit.
This is yet another milestone that they said we wouldn't make.
We're trying to celebrate over here. This is 20 episodes.
We came up with a really good porn spin-off.
No!
Dick Dynasty.
It's really funny.
Anyway.
I want you to
20 episodes is kind of, I guess it's kind of a big deal. We've been doing this nonstop for 20 weeks.
Can't drink yet.
And then, but we're not going to be able to either, because next week we will not be with you. Taking a week off, guys.
We won't be with you. We'll be with someone else.
We've been cheating. It's Christmas, so we're taking some time off to enjoy the holiday.
You should too.
But we'll be back. But 20, that's pretty good. As always, I'm joined by... Wow.
Cameron Chaus.
Dramatic fucking pause over here. I'm also joined by returning guest
Mallory Burns.
Down your house.
And smiles while she does it. Also returning to the podcast,
Alex Cunningham, local singer, songwriter, concert promoter, and amateur botanist.
And amateur detective.
Yeah.
That too.
will you recreate your answering message for the people at home? Like, ring, ring, I'm calling you, and you hit ignore, and then this happens.
I don't remember, though.
Oh, come on.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm a huge fucking tool.
Essentially, it's essentially, I'm a huge fucking tool.
Lex, with a tiny dick.
Come on. I didn't mean to say that. We don't need to say that on air. What do you say? You say, Alex Cunningham, a professional musician and amateur detective.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, you're such an asshole.
Well, okay, if that puts off the image that I'm an asshole, then at least I'm being truthful in my answering machine message. You know what I mean?
I guess it's more for the people who know you think you're an asshole.
Well, yeah.
Of course. I think the real asshole voicemail thing to do is the, hello? Oh, hi. Yeah, and Russ did that, like,
I've had those.
Literally 5 times and got me each time.
Same has happened with Dustin Rye. He's the exact same thing.
He seems like that kind of guy.
Speaking of which, while we're on the subject, Dustin Rye, who's a friend of the show, and we've worked with him a number of times, his band, The Clover Club, just released their first EP. You can pick that. And they also do the intro music for the show every week. When it's just Cameron and I. Yeah.
Live.
They're here playing in the background. Hi, guys. They just released their first 5-song EP, the Straight Flesh Hustle. You can pick that up by going to Facebook, looking for the Clover Club. We'll also have a link for it on the You're Gonna Need a Bigger Show page.
I have no arguments there.
Boom. Also, our own Cameron Childs, if you haven't seen it yet, go over to the Facebook page and check out the music video he did for Body of Light.
Body of Light.
Local band. What's the name of the song?
Somebody Else.
And the video, I've been pulling your dick all week about this, but I think the video is masterful. It's one of I've literally watched it upwards of 30 times. It's incredible.
Well, thank you for doing
that. Yeah. It's really good. I only watched it once, but you know, I was one time worth of impressed.
Good, I guess.
I don't know how to take that.
We should have another video up.
Yeah, the Tron Ain't My Baby thing will be coming out very soon, and we'll share that.
That 3/4 of us worked on.
Yeah, we'll be sharing that one on the Facebook page as well. So.
Right. Cool. Well, let's
jump into some news.
Yes. Well, how's everybody doing? You guys doing good?
No, I'm not.
All right, moving on.
Mallory's been trying to read her confessional poems all night ever since she got here, and we just keep. That's the thing, is that that's not a poem. Whining is not a poem.
Well, that's the title.
All right.
Subtitled Rape Bus for some reason.
Huh.
And she's sad. Oh.
No,
first piece of news that was kind of announced right after
pizza
the
news?
Show last week.
Pizza news.
Pizza news.
Pizza news. First pizza news. Pepperonis.
Yay!
Woo! Here we go.
Let a professional handle this.
Hold on.
There you go.
It was announced right after the show last week that... Sony will be... Bless you. You alright?
Yeah, sure.
Sony will be moving forward with a Sinister Six and Venom Spider-Man spin-off movies.
Just gonna be bad dudes hanging out with each other.
Like, how the fuck do you make that movie? Like, I mean, Venom kind of makes sense. Venom, like, he can act as kind of an anti-hero.
Sinister Six does not.
Sinister Six doesn't work as a movie.
Who is the Sinister Six?
Depending on which iteration...
I'm doing the finger thing. You know, knock off fingers as he goes.
Dr. Ock.
That's one.
The Vulture.
That's two.
Mm-hmm.
It's my ring finger.
Chameleon. Kraven. Shocker.
Yeah, okay.
Or Electro. And
one or the other.
Rhino. Mysterio has been part of it before.
I feel like Mysterio should be in it.
Yeah, definitely. So, there's a lot of really great villains... But why not fucking make it a Spider-Man movie? Like,
just bad guys doing bad things.
Yeah, I don't know how this is gonna work.
Like, we're Spider-Man doing this.
Mm. Don't know. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that maybe...
Yeah, hopefully.
Right? Maybe they focus on...
He's turning on the dark, or whatever.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
maybe they focus on the Sinister Six, and he, you know, just eventually foils their plan, but I don't
are we sure it's not like origin stories or something? Like I mean, obviously not for Dr. Octopus because we already saw that.
Well, but they've rebooted, so they're redoing everything.
Oh, so this is that's right. So this will be in the Amazing Spider-Man universe. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to kind of see. And in the trailer, I mean, they hint at there's definitely a nod to the Vulture and to Dr. Ock in the newest Spider-Man mm-hmm. trailer. So. Like you see the harnesses for both, which is kind of cool.
Is it the same like director as Amazing Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man. Okay. Mark Webb, which is funny.
Because
Webb.
go Webb, go.
Right. In other news, kind of weird, strange news. It was reported this week that The Naked Gun will be rebooted with Ed Helms to star.
What?
Yeah.
No.
My first reaction is just no.
My explanation of why you might be saying no is that Ed Helms is not that kind of character.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No.
We'll talk about what you said earlier.
That if Steve Carell hadn't been in Get Smart, he would have been perfect for this, yeah. because mm-hmm. the thing that made Leslie Nielsen awesome is that he looked very straight-laced. He looked like a granddad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yet
since he was born with that white hair.
Yes. He was just, you know, totally ridiculous, but kept a straight face. And right. Steve Carell is that exact same type. Ed Helms is not. Ed Helms is very goofy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it. Nothing about that translates to The Naked Gun. You know, like, just the kind of the mm-hmm. flavor mm-hmm. of the franchise.
But I love Ed Helms. He hasn't yet to disappoint me, even in that one movie.
Oh, yeah, that one?
Yeah, remember?
Where are the Millers?
He's only in that for a minute, though.
He's in Where's the Mouse? Spoilers!
Well, I mean, he's in the trailer.
Yeah, he's
in
the
yes. Spoilers in the trailer.
What
he's
movie?
Like Jason Sudeikis' boss. And
his huh? father.
Father?
Father!
So.
We're all IT crowd.
IT crowd.
Yeah. So I don't know. You kind of seem perplexed right off the...
Yeah, like, he seems a little bit too, like... Like he's a little bit too, like... What's the word I'm looking for? He seems too like earnest. Not that because with Leslie Nielsen you got the feeling that like a lot of, it was obviously he was like you know fucking up and being crazy, but like a lot of the stuff was like happening to him. He was kind of like passive, whereas. Like Ed Helms usually plays stuff a little bit deeper. Okay. You know what I mean. And like Steve Carell can do that, but he can also not do that.
Right.
He can also play just like straight up comic character. You know. And
play
I mean
it straight. I mean especially like with Get Smart, where he plays it mm-hmm. straight the whole time.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, obviously it's one of those things you can't tell until it happens, but the knee jerk reaction is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So. Alamo Drafthouse, the pretty cool theater chain that exists out there for true cinema fans, has released their list of 100 greatest films that they will start showing in their theaters in 2014, the whole 100 film list.
And Mike's got a bone to pick with you.
Well, I mean, there were some strange... I mean, we both agree there were some strange films on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which were Ed Wood... not a bad... I mean, I love Ed Wood, but strange choice. Houseu?
Mm.
Houseu is... it's a super weird movie. I don't know.
Joe versus the Volcano. Also strange. Mm. You've Got Mail, which I don't understand at all. Then the two that... Well, one of them is just not good. Well, both of them are not... I mean, technically not good movies.
Mm-hmm.
UHF being one of them. The Weird Al Yankovic movie.
Wait, what? Yeah. That's the 100 greatest films?
Yes.
This sounds like somebody's personal list rather than
right.
something that
yeah.
was like
yeah.
voted on.
But here's what makes the one that kind of ticks me off. Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Really?
The Ed Wood film. And it just seems like such a hip fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a list of like, oh, I'm a film connoisseur.
Yeah. And like Cameron had said earlier, maybe it's in so much that it's so bad that it
It's great, and it's bad. I've watched both those movies, and to me, Plan 9 is more entertaining. Just at, like, you don't have to sit in a room full of other people laughing to enjoy
it. But then I guess it comes down to, well, then does that really make it a great, you know, like a great film? And I don't think it does.
Like an unintentionally great film? I don't know.
I don't think it, but I don't even think unintentionally. It's, I mean, it was a shitty movie by a director who wasn't very good. You know, I mean. And it's almost like a cautionary tale, you know. I mean, don't be like Ed Wood. I mean, have the passion.
I don't know. I just remember enjoying it so much and not.
I mean, I can understand that, like movies that are so bad that they're entertaining, but at the same time, like having that on, like on a 100 greatest, yeah, you know, movies, especially to have so many of that kind of film is weird. You know, I can understand if you want to have, like, you know, Plan 9 as a representative of that type of movie, or you have like Plan 9 or UHF as like silly, entertaining but technically bad movies, right. But to have the list be completely like saturated with those, that seems a little much.
It's saturated. But I mean, there were definitely a lot that was just like, okay, this is really fucking hip.
Yeah.
There was like four Wes Anderson movies and then a bunch, right, of Hitchcock, okay, movies.
But if you say Night of the Hunter, The Dark Knight, Royal Tenenbaums, Plan 9 from Outer Space, one of these things.
Just doesn't belong here.
So I don't know. I mean, I still think it's really cool that they're going to be releasing these, and I wish we had a draft house closer to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we don't. So
I'd go watch Plan 9. I don't care.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As we did last week, we're going to take a look at a few trailers that came out this week, and meet you on the other side of that. But we're going to be talking about the trailer for Interstellar, Cheap Thrills, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So we're going to play a quick clip from all three of those, and we're going to come back and talk about them.
We've always defined ourselves by the ability to overcome the impossible.
Tom? Cut your pinky off.
What?
She had to do whatever we say. I will knock you out.
Cool it!
Let's rewind.
I need to speak to Caesar!
Jeez, your angry face.
Woo! That was three pieces of something.
Oh my God.
Let's go in order. Let's talk about Interstellar.
What an awful trailer. How are you going to sit there and use like 18 minutes of footage that doesn't even belong to your film, and then just a scene of like Matthew McConaughey tearing up, and then try and like convince me to see that movie?
I hear it's about corn. I'm not even kidding when I say that. Like, I hear it has something to do with
corn,
the growth of, like, yeah.
So it's set in Nebraska.
And space travel.
So it's
what?
Set in space, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know anything about the movie.
I mean, I agree, kind of a like shitty, vague trailer. I mean, I would go see it if something convinced me really hard, but it's like, I mean, all I have to go on right now is, like you said, a bunch of other footage and Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, the thing that convinces me to see it is Christopher Nolan.
Fair.
But
That's what they're going off of. They would have never done that, I don't think.
With anyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, very few anyway.
Right.
But they got away with half-assing something.
Well, half-assing, I mean, I feel like, what?
It was half-assed.
No, I mean, I agree, but it's one of those things, too. It's like, that's the risk you run when you say, a year from now. Mm-hmm. Like, well, then why the fuck are you releasing a trailer?
Right.
Yeah.
It's enough. I'm excited about it because it's a new Christopher Nolan movie.
And it seems like a cool sci-fi movie.
Right.
We're not getting a lot of those lately.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily, you know, excited otherwise. You're right over there, Rain Man?
A Waterbum baby.
What?
Hot water burn baby.
My God. What are you even talking?
I'm deep in thought.
So much about this trailer or the next one?
Well,
let's talk about it.
There was a lot to go through, but I mean, I don't think you guys have pretty much said anything I would have said about that trailer. A year from now is a dumb thing to put on a trailer.
It really is. Yeah. And the fact that how would you say that? The way that the title's
vertical.
The vertical placement of the title was a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video game coming out called Cyberpunk 2077.
Okay.
And its trailer is kind of like that, where it's a neat trailer, actually. It's a really good trailer, but it ends with coming whenever it's ready. So wow. I think this is going to be a trend. It's just like, fuck you guys.
We'll do what we want.
You're going to pay for this anyway.
The next film is from Draft House Releasing.
Valerie is making a hell of a face.
Stars right? Pat Healy from The Innkeepers. Cheap Thrills. Man, what a fucking trailer.
Holy shit.
Which I saw the first trailer about... It was probably at the beginning of the year, and I thought, okay, this looks good. And I've heard a lot of really... Like, this is going to be the independent film of next year.
Mm.
But they also said that about Your Next.
About Your Next.
And this is from the producers of that. And I also thought Your Next was going to be great. And I didn't like it. A lot of people did. I didn't. I don't know. I mean, that... But everything about that movie is right up my alley, in as much as... This is going to be a mean little film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what one of those little things said, a nasty little flick, like, I think that's what
it's a nasty
be.
Piece of work. Yeah.
Like, I mean... I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I just feel like it's...
I mean, it can...
The concept
can,
is neat, but right. I think they're going to drive it down a road of, like, being really...
Well, it also mirrors a concept from earlier this year, the Jeffrey Combs film, Would You Rather, where it's basically mm-hmm. the same thing.
Mm.
Where people are playing for money, essentially. I know, Cameron, which... I feel like you kind of... Like, especially this type of film might have a different slant on it. What do you think?
It looked... I mean, that's exactly what they wanted me to feel, but I felt, oh, this is fun. And then I felt, I don't know anymore. And mm-hmm. it's really one of those movies that's like, what would you do in this situation? Like, right. if, as you're watching it, inevitably, you're going to be like, well, what would I do?
Sure.
I mean, even watching the trailer, I'd be like, well, if I were in desperate need, would I cut off my own pinky?
Would you? Let's talk about that for a second.
Depends on the desperate need.
For how much pinky? Right now in your life, would you cut off your pinky for $15,000 cash?
No.
$25,000 cash?
No, for my own pinky right now in my life, you'd have to give me six figures probably.
Really?
Because I'm not in need. So.
Right. I would do it for 25.
I'd do it for 15.
Wow.
Okay. Guys,
on my
15,
right hand, though. Not my left.
Fifth, wow.
I'd do it for a good BJ.
The thing is, in 10 years... guys, no.
Wait, don't let your pinky go. In 10 years when you're going to need your pinky? I don't understand.
Well, no, how much does
I'm saying,
pinky...
I'm saying, first of all...
Costs? So, whatever, how much money I need,
that
plus
that. No, they feed it to a dog when you're done.
No, if they could give you a new pinky that worked, it would be way more than 15 grand.
You're right.
I mean, we can just go into the distant future and, you know, robot pinkies.
But I thought the trailer was really effective.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna
echo bro.
It's gonna be one of those things where it's gonna not be something I'm gonna go to see it and be excited for and just severely disappointed because it's just a bunch of cheap little
thrills.
cheap thrills. Part of me kind of hopes they go somewhere else with it. Like, it's not just this sort of escalating series of dares that, you know, ends with them daring them to do something.
I feel like it will be
right. I feel like to make it really like really interesting. There's gonna have to be some kind of twist. Like where are these people getting all this money?
Right.
You know, like something.
What should have been Your Next and was not?
Sure, I agree. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm fucking excited because this is a situation where I thought Rise of the Planet of the Apes was going to be a piece of dog shit, and I loved
it. So good.
I loved it so much, and this trailer and the posters and everything have just got me really excited about it. The shot with Caesar at the end and the face paint is just perfect.
I mean, it does look really good. So. I'm talking about CG.
The
actual look of it.
Just the rain hitting at the end and everything.
And I think you can take that trailer and then take Interstellar and kind of compare them. You have a short trailer that doesn't show a lot of content at all. It has like the same little dialogue, you know, thing, but which was more effective, you know?
Right.
You could have done something for Interstellar and made it just as effective with the amount of
the
content.
The problem is, though, that Interstellar doesn't have any footage to show. Like, they just started shooting it.
Right.
So, I mean, should have held off, you know?
Yeah.
Don't stop picking at that. Well, I got a new tattoo, and she's picking at the scabs, and that's dumb. two bits of comic book news. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is set to star and direct the Sandman adaptation.
Joseph G. Lovitz.
And according to Todd Robbins, Joseph G. Lovitz. He knows him, apparently. I don't know. Maybe he does.
I bet he knows lots of people.
Oh, come on. You want to start with Tar? No. I don't know. Sandman? Yeah.
I haven't read much of it.
I respect Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but he needs to stay the fuck away from Sandman.
Really?
Everyone needs to. When something is perfect, when something is perfect in its own existence, why do you need to make it?
That's really funny because I don't think it's perfect at all.
Okay.
I feel like the fact that there will be an adaptation doesn't. What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
I just don't understand this trend of taking.
Cameron has a timer going right now.
Okay.
He's ready for this to be.
I'm overwhelmed because we have this piece of news paired with the fact that they're doing another one of Gaiman's books as an HBO series that they're making.
American Gods.
That way longer than it needs to be. Weird. They're hobbiting it. I just.
Ooh, new thing.
I'm just upset because these are things that I just don't think can be adapted. Star Wars.
Starbucked. No, I agree. I mean, I don't agree. I mean, just because. I don't have.
This, I agree, but I don't.
No,
agree.
I mean that to begin with. I don't have this reverence for like Sandman that everybody does. I just think it's good. Like I don't think.
But I think it's gonna look really hokey whenever you try and recreate the characters on screen.
Is Thomas Hayden Church in it?
Why would he be? Oh, cause Sandman! I'm fine! Nice.
That's funny.
What are you, like,
weird? I'm sorry, Alex. 1 second. There we go.
I see what you're saying, that like it's hard, like it is hard to live up to an original of something, but I mean at the same time we do have films like To Kill a Mockingbird, where you know the book is incredible and the movie is also incredible. We have, you know, like
prime example, or
more recently
one.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, which is an incredible book, and the film I thought was also very, very successful.
Yeah,
which is funny because you're probably in the minority.
Yeah,
it was critically slammed.
I do not understand that. I didn't think it compared to the book, because it's a different slant on the book.
Okay,
well, because
like that's
I don't know anything about either, so I don't really know.
Yeah. Okay, but the book is written in a way that again cannot be adapted into.
Well, they said I kind of clocked out. Mentally for the last few minutes. We didn't talk about Watchmen, did we? They said the same thing about Watchmen, you know, and I think that Watchmen is a pretty serviceable movie.
I enjoyed it.
They changed things that you really couldn't commit to film.
That's true.
In a way that made perfect sense, the whole
but for Sandman, you would have to change so much to make it committable to film.
Well, we'll see. I'll be interested to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Breaking news. This just happened right before we started recording. Paul Rudd is in early negotiations to play Ant-Man in Edgar Wright's adaptation. What's funny about
that? I'm picturing him in just a, like basically a rubber ant suit, like running around
just
doing
Paul Rudd stuff,
doing Paul Rudd ant stuff.
With Woody Allen's voice.
what's happening here?
Ant-Man, what do you want from me?
I think. This is a great casting decision because I feel like Paul Rudd can bring kind of the snarky Hank Pym to it, but he can also become the abusive alcoholic Hank Pym.
Yes.
If Marvel pushes it that far. I mean, he can be, you know, I imagine he's got to fit into the Avengers storyline a little bit because he, according to comic books, Hank Pym creates Ultron, and that's the new... You know, that's the new Avengers movie. So, I don't know. Paul Rudd. Let's do Paul Rudd.
I prefer the Adam Scott rumors.
There were no Adam
Yes,
Scott.
There were.
Wrong.
You can Google it.
You started the rumor, Mallory.
You did it. It was you. You started on your Facebook.
It was you. You
wrote
it.
Adam Scott.
You really think Adam Scott could have done it?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I mean, I think Paul Rudd will do a fantastic job, but I definitely see Adam Scott doing it as well. But that's probably because I'm living in love with Adam Scott.
A little. More than a little.
Who isn't?
Let's be honest. So, Paul Rudd, Edgar Wright, match made in heaven. Let's see. Couple of pieces of Batman Superman news. I know, I'm sorry.
Batman Superman?
The production for Batman vs. Superman wants Joaquin Phoenix for a villain role.
Huh.
Oh, Joaquin.
How about that?
Who the fuck could Joaquin Phoenix play?
Anybody with striking eyes.
And a hair lip scar.
Come on.
Nah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I think he's doing all right for himself.
True.
Why do you think he's wearing a mustache now, though? Come on.
Never noticed.
Oh, it's there. Okay. I'm not Lex Luthor, right? Like, that doesn't make much sense to me.
I can't see him as a baldy.
Oh, no, I thought Lex Luthor was already confirmed.
No.
That was rumored?
Mm-hmm.
No. Anyway.
Yes, it was rumored as Bryan Cranston. We later found out that was from a non-reputable source.
No, AKA. Not Lex Luthor.
Just
that wouldn't work.
But who? You know, like, I mean, I don't... But who the fuck does Superman have that's worth a damn?
No one.
Bizarro.
I want Joaquin Phoenix to be the Henry Cavill. That makes
that
perfect sense.
Actually, it would be awesome.
They start at the hair lip scar and then shatter his face from there.
Oh my gosh!
I just can't stop.
What if he wants to work with you, Mike? And
I'm not working with Joaquin Phoenix ever. Are you sure?
You say that now.
10 years from now, he'll go back and find this.
Yeah.
I'm so concerned.
I don't know. I would like to know if anybody's listening. I would like to know what you guys think at home, because I really can't think of any villain that this works for. Unless it's a Batman villain, then it could be.
There's a couple Batman villains
that he could possibly play.
The Calendar Man.
Joaquin Phoenix is Julian Day, the Calendar Man.
Hey, Batman, what day is it? Dying Day.
It's your birthday. So, also in Batman vs. Superman news, the Argo screenwriter will be rewriting the script, which could be a good thing. I don't know. I mean,
it's interesting to have Affleck and then
the Argo script. It seems like he's slowly taking over. He's assimilating the movie.
Now Kevin Smith is directing it.
Right, yeah.
Alan Arkin is going to be somebody's dad.
Alan Arkin will play. He'll take over for Lawrence Fishburne and play Perry White. Not a bad casting choice.
Yep.
Man of Steel is such a shitty movie. Not a point. So I don't know. Kind of interesting news. Lastly, this week was the release of the yearly Blacklist. You guys know what the Blacklist is?
Mm-hmm.
Each year, Hollywood's top executives vote on their favorite unproduced scripts. And they release a list of them, and then some of them become produced. But
wow!
Yeah,
wow!
Mean gun,
Blacklist,
Juju Beans. We're going to rather post the list on our page. But some of the interesting ones, there were two Mr. Rogers like life story scripts. One script about Stanley Kubrick directing the fake moon landing, and two scripts about the making of Jaws.
I literally suggested making that movie earlier.
Which one?
The Stanley Kubrick? Yeah. Kubrick. I swear to God.
Kubrick.
Like 3 months ago, I said, you know, it'd be an awesome movie. That was me.
Was it?
That was me.
Yeah, they did that quick.
I know.
I don't know. We'll talk a little bit more about this in my roundtable question tonight, but. It's always an interesting list, and I mean, there have been a lot of movies to come out of it that have been produced, but they also do a horror one earlier in the year. One of the really cool horror ones this year was about a woman who goes to interview a horror author, only to find that he's being held captive by his creations, which I thought was really cool.
That would be really fun.
That would be a cool movie.
What a fun little flick.
Oh my god, I hate you.
What a nasty
little piece of shit. So that kind of about does it for me. I don't want to overdo the news tonight, but we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some Christmas television programming. Thank you, Alex. You fuck.
And we're back.
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 It was a spoken barbershop quartet thing we had going.
Baby, come back! So tonight we're talking about our favorite holiday Christmas specials. Mm. Holiday TV specials. Shouldn't say Christmas specials.
I mean, they're all Christmas specials.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
We got a couple that are
There's
not.
A couple in question, yes.
I think we need to start kind of at the originals, the Claymation Christmas specials.
Mm-hmm.
Were these originally aired? I'm guessing they were originally aired on TV.
I think they were CBS.
Yeah.
All of them were CBS.
Yeah.
They started with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then I think the Santa Claus is Coming to Town was after that. Oh, sorry. Completely didn't realize my mic was all the way up there. Santa Claus is Coming to Town was after that, and then Year Without a Santa.
Yes.
Woo! Oh, that was a good one.
Love
Jack Frost, Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, Little Drummer Boy.
Alex, you don't like them?
No. I don't like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Why do you not like Rudolph?
I mean, let's be real. The story is ridiculous. Like, it's not like I mean.
I'm okay. Sorry. It's a children's Christmas program.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that.
We can't all be Catch fucking 22, Alex.
What?
Okay. But you can have a Christmas special that doesn't teach your children to be shitholes.
How does the Rudolph teach your children to be shitholes?
Because it's not that they accept Rudolph for who he is; they find a use for him, and because of that, that they're like, "Oh, we need you, so we're gonna so we're gonna ask you for a fucking favor now."
He discovers the power within himself.
But that doesn't relate to how they relate to him, though.
I don't know that.
He discovered. I've seen the special, Mike.
I don't think you have.
I actually have.
You're talking like a real asshole right now.
See, here's the thing.
Shut up!
So, viewers, listeners at home.
The Bumble. Come on.
Okay, that was fucking awesome. Like, I'll get. Okay. I'm not saying.
Yukon Cornelius. Doing the wrecking ball lick before wrecking ball.
That was yeah. No, okay.
Pretty hot.
That's like my ultimate fantasy.
Is Yukon Cornelius
twerking, just like twerking
and licking the hell out of that pickaxe.
Holy shit!
Yukon Cornelius is a paragon of manhood, and I'm not going to dispute that at all.
If they did a live action, fucking
Offerman,
Nick Offerman as Yukon Cornelius.
Oh my god!
Can we make this a thing now?
Please.
Only if Adam Scott plays the voice of the Bumble.
I don't know that works.
I think we could try it.
Is this a Parks and Rec remake?
Oh, man. And then, well, Leslie Knope.
Leslie Knope as dentist. Well, I was going to say as Rudolph.
What's her face?
It's a loose
Or no, Andy could be Rudolph.
Oh, he would be a good Rudolph,
yeah.
Too.
Who would Jerry slash Gary?
The snowman. Yes. Leon the snowman.
Oh, Leon. What a great special. Shut up, Alex.
No, there are a lot of good things about the special, but I think like the moral of the story is really kind of off base.
But then they've still withstood the test of time. Maybe not
absolutely.
Much Santa Claus is Coming to Town, even though I really like that one.
I like that one too.
Winter Wizard.
Yeah.
But definitely Year Without a Santa Claus, which probably features the most like the catchiest songs.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat Miser and Snow
the
Miser.
The Heat Miser song, oh my god.
All of them except Rudolph I haven't seen in so long I barely remember anything about them.
We should revisit them. At least those three. I don't think Little Drummer Boy is all that good.
Yeah, I was never a fan.
Rudolph Shiny New Year.
Oh god, no.
Rudolph, the Misfit Toys is in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. I just like that whole concept of like this is where all the miss, you know, like the whole
misfits go.
It's a cool little concept.
Sorry, you're the worst. And it's funny because a lot of modern shows have ran with the claymation idea. I know Home Improvement had done one.
Community.
Community
episode was pretty cool.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia has done one that really cracks me up every time. So it's definitely a timeless thing.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
These specials.
I mean, they really are works of art. Like, yeah, they're absolutely incredible.
It is one of those things that just go with our culture. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that's truly kind of Americana.
Mm-hmm. That, absolutely. That
like Gumby.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes. Really?
He's here. He will be short to stay. Gumby.
What?
Let's all see what magical games he can play.
Is that
Gumby?
Is that the theme song?
He can change into anything.
Oh my god.
With his pals, Pokey Prickle and Goo, he can walk through a wall if you want him to.
Gumby.
No. Oh. Sorry, Mike.
Were you just riffing or is that really the theme song?
I wish I was just riffing. That's just the truth of Gumby.
Wow.
The true Gumby.
That is the gospel of Gumby.
Let's make that a thing.
The good news. Gumby is back. And he's pissed.
And he doesn't look too happy.
One that I want to talk about that is kind of modern required viewing is the Mr. Hanky Christmas special.
Oh my
yeah.
god.
Yeah.
The musical special. Like, when Mr. Hanky first came onto the scene and it was, oh, Mr. Hanky the Christmas special, what a weird fucking idea.
But there was a song in that one that I still remember, and that's the Kyle's I'm a Jew, a lonely Jew on Christmas. Yeah. Like, that was a cool, I mean, stuck in my head this long.
Right. And that's, I think with all of these, they all kind of feature something that just speaks to, you know, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Hanky's Christmas special is an all-musical special featuring Mr. Garrison singing Merry Fucking Christmas.
Yes.
That was really good.
Timeless classic.
My personal favorite, Mr. Mackey singing Carol of the Bells, yeah. where his voice overlaps over himself. Yeah. That blows my fucking mind to this day just because it's so transcendently hilarious.
Stan's sister Shelley doing the
music. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You Carriage! Shut up, Carriage!
I forgot about that.
Jesus and God. Or no, Jesus and Santa Claus doing.
I still remember that.
Uh-huh. Lounge singing.
Her name is Rio and she dances in. Yes. Awesome.
was Christmas Time in Hell in that one?
Yes. We were talking about Christmas Time in Hell earlier.
And then, what else is in that one? Derek does.
Where it is? Yeah.
Shock him every time he fucks up or something.
I think you're thinking of a different one. This one I think is it's just him singing it straight, like
and all the really pretty parts is just atrocious.
Yeah. and it also has the Mr. Hanky's theme song.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo.
That one.
And we were talking about that earlier. One of the funniest parts about that is the guy just kind of riffing in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he's hanging on to your speaker and you're trying to move about and get him to...
Yeah. Yeah. South Park is always done.
Yeah.
Hilariously.
What's funny about that whole special is at each potential commercial... Benny Tom. At each potential commercial break, it cuts to a newscaster and he's like... talking about triples at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps doing it. Yeah. And then in the final credits, he comes back. And he just fights like a giant hairy monster. And it doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
See, that's the part about South Park that I really enjoyed. Where, you know, it's not that I don't like the fact that they would have an agenda sometimes and they wanted to get a message across. But when they would just be ridiculous for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I think that's when I enjoyed the show the most.
And it's funny because even though it's... this is weird to say. Even though, I mean, it's really vulgar, there's still something sweet about that Christmas special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's still something endearing about that. Because...
Oh, isn't... This may be a different special, but isn't this the one where they do... It's like a really elaborate thing where they got like five people from the cast and it's like, starts off as dreidel, then it's carpet.
Oh, that's the same one.
Yeah, the same one.
Goes lame.
You're fucking lame, jeez.
And then like the mom and dad come in.
Yes. Courtney Cox, I love you. You're so hot on that show.
Wow. Oh, shit. This really says something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
The quality.
We can remember this one better than all of the specials combined.
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I can... By myself, I could probably talk a lot more in depth about some of the claymation ones. But I think there's just so much, like, for something modern that really kind of we've all experienced at different points in our lives, because you guys are a little bit younger than we are. So Cameron and I were kind of like, that was coming out. South Park was coming out like, what?
Well, I was like 11 when it first started, but the Christmas special is 12, 13.
Yeah, probably. So, and the fact that it's just kind of continued.
And I haven't seen them since, is the thing. Right.
Moving on, I think a holiday special that definitely got it right, the Rugrats Hanukkah special.
I know I've seen it, and I cannot remember. You guys are going to have to refresh me.
Well, see, they did a Christmas one. Just because I think it's in the contract or by law, you have if you have a TV show, you have to make a Christmas special, and it has to be pretty much traditional Christmas stuff.
Right.
But they made it pretty clear pretty soon into the series that it was a family of mixed, what do you call it,
religion?
Yeah, or mixed traditions.
mixed faiths.
You want to say it.
Yeah.
And Rugrats is pretty much the only reason a Protestant white person like myself would know what Passover and Hanukkah are even about.
Right.
Because I remember it coming on and they had the Hanukkah special and talking about, you know, the menorah and the whole story and everything. And I just, looking back on it now, that just seems, I don't want to call it progressive because I don't like that word, but like...
Really?
Yeah, because it has... Never, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Everyone blows up Cameron next day.
You don't like the word progressive.
Imagine that, straight white male doesn't like progressiveness.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Fuck you, cis scum.
People somehow turn this into a rape joke.
Right. God, Freeman.
I feel for you, Martin.
And we get canceled by the internet.
They're just like, stop.
No, but just looking back on it now, I mean... It's cool that we had that.
I'll use the word progressive because I think it was. I mean, it just wasn't something that existed.
Well, like he said, like I would have not known what Hanukkah was if it wasn't for that special. Honestly, like
the only two reasons I knew about Hanukkah were that and
Adam Sandler.
No, well,
Eight Crazy Nights.
Yeah, like a song. I grew up with a Jewish kid. Mm-hmm. We went to school together, like through the sixth grade. But his family would come in every year and do like a Hanukkah presentation for us in school.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. They would make latkes and everybody got their own dreidel. It was really cool. But yeah, I mean, just it was progressive just because it did not exist. I mean, that wasn't, you know, something, especially for kids, that was accessible at all until then. So, yeah, Rugrats definitely stands out. And still to this day, Spencer and I watched it probably less than a year ago. And, I mean, it's still such a good episode.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. But
you should definitely go back and revisit it. I think a series that consistently did good Christmas specials was The Simpsons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Their very first episode was a Christmas special, or one of their very first episodes was a Christmas special. I mean, the ones that stand out, for me anyway, when Bart steals the video game.
Oh, that, yeah. The there's that one and the one where he accidentally burns up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Those two, those get you right in the gut every time, I swear.
Yes, and Simpsons, especially around the holidays, was always really good about doing that. I remember there was one about Santa's Little Helper. At one point.
Yeah, I want to say one of the Christmas episodes where they get Santa's Little Helper?
Well, yeah, because his name is Santa's Little Helper.
Right.
That episode.
No, I mean, but seriously, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that was... we don't have to talk much more about it than that, but all of the, you know, I can't think of one. Even the newest one that was just on was still really good. And the opening that they did this year... They kind of took Guillermo del Toro's cue from the Halloween and really just packed the opening with a lot of Christmas stuff. It was it was really cool. One that premiered on television, I think again on CBS, was The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that's been a big one in our, I think it's since been voted off, but in our Christmas countdown. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas with Boris Karloff doing the narration and Thurl Ravencroft doing the singing is fucking...
It's iconic. I mean, inescapable in American culture for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's perfect. That's the, of the like so-called traditional Christmas specials, the more like serious older ones. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like I think I would even pick that one over the Charlie Brown one.
Oh, I would every day of the week. I actually don't even have Charlie Brown on here, which is interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I've never been a big Charlie Brown person.
Really? I've always thought the Charlie Brown one. I mean, again, it's an icon, and it's like.
You talking about Charlie Brown? The fact even then that they got away with reciting a Bible verse,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
you know, on television is incredible.
Yeah, and I've heard that they actually caught flack for it.
Oh yeah,
and that. I don't know if it was Charles Schulz or whoever was in charge of it had to stick to their guns and say, well, we want to do this.
But that's so much, you know, I'm not a huge Charlie Brown Peanuts fan, but I love that special, and that's so much of, that's wholesome fucking Americana to the nth degree. I mean, that is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a justification for cheaping out on a tree, too. Like when we go to the Christmas tree farm, I'm like that shitty one that only costs $15 is good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose.
I mean, and that's part of why I like it too, because it does like it. I mean, it just works as a coherent whole, and it it really does drive home, because it comes from a place from a religious standpoint. This is the this is the meaning of Christmas for people of this faith. It might not be, you know, for the, there are other meanings of Christmas, but this mm-hmm. is one of them, and they really like. I think they did that well.
Even with, you know, of the, I mean, like you said, of this faith. I mean, it still just kind of talks about, you know, be good to each other.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's at the very root. That's just something that people should continue to take away from this time of year. I mean, all times of year, but you know. Definitely, it goes a little bit further around this time.
And that's really what you just said is what I really appreciated about the community one, and that they all get into a discussion or argument or whatever about what the true meaning of Christmas mm-hmm. is, right. And one of them comes to the realization that Christmas means whatever it means to you.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that there's no... I mean, people will get mad and argue about this, but there's no true meaning of Christmas. Right. There's no right. universal meaning of Christmas.
Right.
Because there are so many interpretations, you can't say, well, mine is the right one.
Sure.
Yeah. And there's not something out in the world, there's not a particle of meaning that's attached to it. It's a certain object. Christmas is a concept. Meaning is a subjective concept to assign to something. Therefore, it is subjective. And it varies from person to person.
What?
What?
I'm proud of you.
One of the things, backing up a little bit and talking about the Grinch, I can pretty much guarantee you that all of us either know the opening song or your mean one, Mr. Grinch. I know every word of that song.
Mm.
And it's kind of one of those things that, it's just so, like, that's not in the book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did that specifically for the cartoon, and it's just iconic.
Well, I always get tripped up on the, you're a triple-decker
sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. Yep. Seasick crocodile. You're a dirty, crooked jockey, and you drive a crooked horse.
Yeah, that's good. And you're as cuddly as a cactus.
You're as slimy as an eel.
Yeah, it's good.
Grinch.
That cuts to the bone, man. I wish politicians would insult each other
like
in
slimy as an eel.
Yeah, and that's good too. Like it's it's a Christmas special, so it's sweet, but it's not overly saccharine, and it can still be funny. You know,
right.
Like here's the narrator slinging insults at one of the characters, but it's not even like mean spirited. Really,
sure.
It's like because you know he is a Grinch who steals Christmas, as the title would suggest.
Yes.
recently, within the last few years especially, even though both series have kind of been doing these since the beginning, I think the last few Family Guy and American Dad Christmas specials have been
The one
American Dad special that really stands out to me, and I may be the only one talking about this, was the family killing Santa Claus.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, I did see that, yeah. Holy shit.
Kill Santa, and then they kind of have to go on the run because Santa's coming back for them the following Christmas. I love that special very much. There's a lot of really funny sight gags, and it includes my favorite character, Bob Todd, who lives up in the hills and is like a moonshiner.
Oh my god, I forgot all about him. Oh god, he was so crazy.
All of their specials have been really good. The last, not the most recent Family Guy, and it may be the year before last, but when Stewie and Brian, it's a two-part episode, Stewie and Brian go to the North Pole to meet Santa Claus, and they have found that Santa Claus is just, like, fucking run into the ground because of terrible consumerism, that the elves are all inbred, and so are the reindeer. But the reindeer are feral, awful animals, and that Stewie and Brian decide that they're going to take over for Santa. Holy shit. It includes one of the best cartoon musical numbers ever. Christmas is Killing Us. But it's just such a funny fucking
episode. I remember one of the first Family Guy Christmas specials with the Kids Christmas special.
Kids Save Santa.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Me and Spencer watched that one the other night, actually. That's another one. Like, they're really good about, you know, talking about the true, what they conceive as the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. Like, they're the American Dad one, I think, was more just silly, if I remember right. But the Family Guy one, yeah, they're really direct with it. But I couldn't watch it. Like, I had to stop and walk away because it was so fucking depressing.
The Family Guy one?
Yeah, that was so fucking dark.
And I like, mean, it has a silver lining at the end. You know, everybody on Earth kind of agrees one gift is enough, which is, you know, kind of a sweet sentiment. But it's still really depressing.
Yeah.
Even with Brian and Stewie take over, there's a lot of funny sight yet. But the whole thing is cripplingly depressing. So I those are some on that, like, those are required viewing. I don't know, you guys can talk about this probably a little more than I can because I haven't really seen any of them, but the Office Christmas specials,
I mean, well,
I'm going through the tunnel, I got Mike. Somebody's gonna have to jog my memory on these because I know I've definitely seen them. But
a couple of ones that stand out to me, the big one was the year that they decided to do Dirty Santa, and Jim had planned this elaborate Christmas present for Pam that included a letter that I don't think was ever read.
I don't think so.
Wait, that was the same one where everybody got the iPod, wasn't it?
Yeah, because
they keep trading presents.
Michael was so, like, obsessed with
Ryan
that he got him an iPod, even though there's a $10 limit, and everyone wanted the iPod because they were playing Dirty Santa. So, of course,
and
Pam gladly gave away the teapot for, you know. But that one just stands out to me because it's just one of those Jim and Pam moments that so special before it was ruined when they got married.
Yeah. Well, like, all of the, I mean, all the Office Christmas specials are good because they touch on on like the concept of an office Christmas, like, in general, and how like because it's a really, like, awkward show anyway, but then you have just the awkwardness of an office Christmas party, like, and it's like, it's not like, and they have different aspects of that, you know, like the Dirty Santa thing, or the one later on where it's where they try to be multicultural and it just ends up being incredibly offensive, you know.
Yeah, and then of course there was when Phyllis decided that she wanted to be Santa Claus.
Yes, I was just thinking about that one too. Uproar
from Michael only, of course. Like, Santa can't be a woman, and was like forcing witches on his lap. And
kind of relevant today, I think, because the Santa can't be black. You know, this whole Fox News war on Christmas.
Wait, what's going on right now? I'm not aware of this.
Oh yeah, Fox News
says that there's war on Christmas.
Recently reported that there can't be a black Santa Claus.
And then that stupid woman.
Jill's got the C dropped on her.
Who basically wanted to say, she literally was like, just to let you guys know, Santa, and like basically speaking to children, mm-hmm. like, all kids out there, Santa cannot be black. Santa is white.
Then one of the, I mean, one of the,
what race are non-existent,
First of all, hold on a second. You're assuming he's non-existent, and I'm just putting that out there. Like, I'm not entirely on board with that, but I see what you're saying.
If you believe, is that what you're going to tell me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying he exists for everybody, and you can all go straight to hell because I'm the only one who really believes in Santa Claus.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but he could be black.
I don't know if this is true, but I also read a quote from the same program. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Jezebel.com?
Maybe it was.
Gotta be careful, man.
That one of the reporters said that Martin Luther King is always portrayed as black. Like, trying to provide an argument, and I just wanted to say, if that's true, I want to die.
That sounds like one of those things you'd see on, like, the 50 dumbest things said on Twitter.
Right.
My issue with the whole thing is that they're wanting there to be a war on Christmas because they have nothing better to talk about. They're like,
the fact of the matter is, when you're being warred against, it's very fun because it gives you something to do.
Well, everyone's kind of outing us as being a bunch of fuck asses. So.
I mean,
we have kind of gone off.
But still. Yeah.
So, why has there not been a Black Santa Christmas special, or has there? And I'm just not aware of it.
Not that I know of.
Because I mean, I haven't seen one. But you know what? That's for
who plays Santa in your Black?
Steve Harvey.
Okay.
Donald Glover, sexy mm-hmm. Santa.
Idris Elba.
Yes.
Sexier
yes.
Santa.
That ties us into The Office.
Does it?
Yeah,
he's
on
it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. It's probably
you need to get caught up.
It's the pinnacle of The Office.
It really is.
Period.
I would say it's the re-pinnacle of The Office. Because for me, like season 2 is the pinnacle, and that brought it like back up to that level later on in the series. Okay. But we're getting way off topic here, and we can talk about this later.
There's a really good Boondocks Christmas special, and I believe that there's a Black Santa in that.
Okay.
Not that I
want
to get into
we've been over this
but with going back to specials that have or haven't done it and that's just a great Christmas special anyway.
If Santa can't be black, then Jesus can't be white. I'm just saying.
Jesus Christ, Alex, really?
I'm really thirsty. I'm really thirsty.
Anyway.
So thirsty, he's drinking out of the tap.
Even though there's literally a filtered water in the.
Oh my God.
Really, Alex?
I can't wait. Let's wait.
Let's just wait. Let's just fucking radio silence.
Radio silence. Radio silence.
This will all be cut later anyway, so.
No, this is stand-in, so the audience knows what a fuck-ass.
You should say that now. Guys, I've been sick. My throat really hurts.
Aww,
you were felt hurt because you were singing hipster music. I don't even want to hear it, Alex.
No,
fuck you.
I've never broken my throat singing Bright Eyes unless I wasn't already sick.
I was about to say, were you singing Conor Oberst songs?
Boom.
And then
right there. He knew.
It wasn't Conor Oberst, it was Bright Eyes. Different.
Totally not. Anyone.
You dick.
You're the
one. It's a birthday party.
It's your birthday, Cameron. Happy birthday.
Anyway, I think that kind of wraps up our favorite Christmas specials.
We covered.
No.
Do you have one?
The Futurama Christmas special. The first one, because that's the only one that I'm really familiar with. And is anybody else?
With
Kwanzaa Bot?
Yeah.
Which is the only reason that I know what Kwanzaa is.
Yeah,
really.
That's a great special, too.
Yeah. That, I'm,
right. We covered it.
Wow.
Jesus.
Christmas.
Okay.
I don't know what just happened.
Things got dark.
So...
things got real mean-spirited for a second.
I think that that special is very funny because Santa is a robot. And it's Futurama.
And he's a shit bird.
He's a shit bird.
That's a good one.
Fox News Santa.
I don't really have a lot to say about it. I thought it's funny.
It is a good one.
I just wanted to mention it.
We want to know, though, what are some of your favorites? Because I know that there's plenty we haven't covered.
Like,
Tim and
Eric's Christmas special.
There's one for every show. I mean,
essentially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, well, one of them that we didn't talk about that's as eternally heartbreaking is the Happy Days, where Fonzie's eating a can of ravioli by himself on Christmas.
Mm.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
But there's a lot of other ones out there that we didn't get a chance to touch on because we'd be here all night. But those are some of our favorites. We want to know what some of your favorites are. Let us know, and we're going to come back with a roundtable.
We're back.
Roundtable time. Who wants to start? You want to start off?
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, so with the Sinister Six judicial system movie coming out that's not going to involve Spider-Man, what villain-centric movie would you like to see that doesn't involve the villain's counterpart? Like, what's the villain, and, like, what's the basic outline of the movie? What are they doing?
Okay.
Alex.
Don't start with me.
Mallory.
Don't start with me.
I'll start. I would like to see a villain movie based on Lee Bermejo and Brian Azzarello's Joker graphic novel, which follows a small-time criminal who... is basically hired to be the Joker's right-hand man. He goes and picks him up from Arkham, and it follows what makes the Joker tick. And, you know, this guy thinks that he's, you know, like, good friends with the Joker, and you see other villains like the Penguin and Two-Face, and it's basically, it would kind of be Gotham meets Goodfellas. It'd be this kind of mob epic, but it's about the Joker trying to get his territory back after he gets out of Arkham. And it's a really great graphic novel. It's pretty, like, it's really graphic. So it would kind of have to be a hard R-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
Batman shows up at the end, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the movie. But he's only in it for, like, 2 pages, so that might be kind of cool.
Just
fairy tale end. But yeah, I think that would be a pretty awesome flick to do.
Yeah.
I don't know who would direct or star or anything.
That's not so important.
No, it would be especially hard now. I mean, just because Joker, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because the art started to come out right before they started working on Dark Knight. From what I understand is that they both had the idea for the cut mouth scars at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So... it would be that style of Joker with the cut mouth. So I don't know. That might be cool to adapt that. And that Joker real fucking dark.
I'm for it. I need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mallory.
I also picked the Joker.
Of course.
I picked Scott Snyder's new 52 Joker.
Oh, with the face?
Yes. I would love to see a movie about the time where when they have his face and he kind of disappears and everyone thinks he's dead. That period of time before he returns.
I would end with his, like, siege on the police station.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the final scene, is when he's going through it and he's just, like, offing people, basically.
Straps that fucking face.
Yeah, back. Like, the last scene would just be him, you know. But I just want to know, like, what, in that period of time, without his face, what happened?
I think it'd be cool, like, if he visited, like, Hush and tries to get reconstructed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be dark, and it'd be, like you said, mine would probably be a hard R, too.
Yeah. Anything with the Joker is going to be, like, you can't do that nicely.
Because it's just so maniacal. It's, you know, chaos without
reason. Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Man, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Alex.
Mine's kind of a weird one, because it's okay.
For a big old weirdo.
I mean, because I mean, the only one that I can think of that would really interest me. Since Peter Jackson is already sowing a lot of crap into the into Tolkien's universe, why not do a villain story from that? Like,
okay.
There's enough Tolkien notes where that you know in his various volumes and even that I'm sure that haven't been released. I'm sure they could call something from that if it's you know something from you know like the Silmarillion era when right. where you have Morgoth and you know and just sort of the genesis of everything that you see in The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, or what I would like to see even more. There's a period in The Hobbit where, and I don't know if I haven't seen the newest film yet. I don't know if they're going to touch on this at all. But in The Hobbit, the book, they touch on the fact that Sauron is alive in Mirkwood. They touch on that at one point in the book, but there's nothing that anyone really says about what he's been doing. Okay. See, I haven't seen it yet. But I've always wanted to see a little bit more expounded upon that. Because he was not during that time he was going by the name the Necromancer, and like it's never fully explained why that I know of. Like it's just kind of a really like not pun intended murky portion of the story, and I would like to see that expounded upon.
Right on. That's a good one.
There are so many good villains to choose from. The first thing I thought of, though, maybe because we mentioned it earlier, was Bizarro.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, Bizarro's from an alternate dimension, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, alternate dimension, but Bizarro. Bizarro's, I would like to think, it's the movie itself would be in a tone totally different from Zack Snyder, so not all this overly serious, like, gravitas. So it's almost, what?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And let's see. So Bizarro, I'm guessing in his own world, this is how I would do it. He is in his own world. He's a hero, yet he does bad things because in Bizarro right. land,
everything's reversed.
Yeah. So he has to fight a quote unquote villain who's really trying to do good.
Right.
So that's my idea is exploring a world that's entirely an alternate dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bizarro's the main guy.
I have the director for that movie.
Okay.
David Lynch.
That hurt my head.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just feel like to accurately get the tone, that weird something is wrong here tone.
Mm-hmm. It's like everything's normal, but it's like, yeah, it's surreal. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, maybe you're right.
Because I feel like Bizarro probably exists in the same universe that Eraserhead exists.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just you know
oh
there's
God.
Just something so terrifying and unsettling about
oh, yeah.
that. I feel like Bizarro could totally live in that world. I think The Rock should play Bizarro.
Oh wow! Yeah. Man, the thing is, I'm seriously sitting here like, man, if you just took the names off of it and made this movie, it's almost like a Mega Mind kind of idea, but totally changing the universe in general.
Right. Maybe you should write this.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Alex, what's your roundtable question?
Well, we were talking about Jagels earlier, doing the Sandman thingy.
Jagels. Mallory looked at me like, "What the fuck is he talking about?"
I zone out for a second.
Doing those Jagel exercises.
I was like Kegels. Oh.
we all have those times where we hear that someone is doing a. You know, a movie version of X book or X video game or whatever, and there's a lot that we say. Well, you shouldn't mess with that. You shouldn't, you know, or it's just simply unfilmable. What are some examples that you guys shouldn't be touched or that you guys think are unfilmable, but you kind of want to see someone try? Cameron,
I don't think I have an answer to this yet.
Mike. Okay. No.
There's a Spider-Man graphic novel called Spider-Man Reign, and it involves an elderly Spider-Man in the, like in a dystopian future where this this weird, like, super kind of Monsanto, you know, evil corporate organization is trying to create a web over New York City to, like, as a shield, but to keep everybody in.
Huh.
And he's long since given up being Spider-Man, but it's really dark. And then you find out, like, that this organization, the mayor is also part of it, but you find out the mayor is actually Venom.
Oh, shit.
And that Venom is has become this huge thing that is going to consume New York. But here's why it's unfilmable. Besides that, because all of that's really fucking dark, it's also unfilmable because it's revealed that Spider-Man, you see Mary Jane throughout it, but she's very skeletal. You find out she's dead, uh-huh. And that Spider-Man killed her with his radioactive semen. That he put radiation into her.
Oh my god.
I need to read this. I've never read this.
It's an incredible... It was recommended to me. I read it on a whim, and it's one of my favorite Spider-Man stories.
Holy fuck.
And then, like, another scene, a emaciated Kingpin, who's just all skin, is brought up to see the mayor, the Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And he taunts him with, like, steak, and it's just really just dark, and he's basically saying, you know, like, I'm the reason that you are the way you are, and, you know, you'll never have power ever again. And towards the end, Spider-Man finds himself losing, because he eventually takes back up the mantle as an elderly Spider-Man, which, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dr. Ock rises from the grave. He's like he's got a computer hive mind now, and he saves Spider-Man, and it's really dark and really weird.
It's fucking awesome.
That's
though.
Like the darkest.
It's so dark, and it's just it. But it would be unfilmable, but I would love to see it.
Mm.
Shit. All right. Yeah. No. Let's do that.
Yeah. Who else?
Mallory.
Well, here's one that I heard, I'm not sure how true it is, like a green lit, but I'm not sure how positive it is. Last of Us doesn't need to be touched because it does the job it needs to do within its own realm.
It's so cinematic.
That's the thing. I don't understand why, one, anyone was rooting for that to happen. Two, yeah. Why it got green lit. Again, I'm not sure if that was confirmed, but that's so unnecessary to take something like that I don't say perfect, I had issues with it, but it's so just complete in what it is.
Yeah.
And so recent, too. That's the
and
other
so
thing.
Recent, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my only beef with that, is just why... That's like taking Uncharted, you know, Uncharted, of course, Naughty Dog, but, you know, take things that are overly cinematic for a reason and then try and make it into something else. That's like, oh, hey, we should remake Avengers. That and since I'm on video games, and I'm not worried about this ever happening, but a Sonic the Hedgehog movie live action.
Oh my god!
Could you even imagine?
No.
But like human adaptation. Just like blue spiky hair.
Hey. I feel like that is not outside. Don't say it'll never happen. I'll be crazy.
I think the only reason people would even speculate on something that like this is that we're the target market for something like The Last of Us.
Right.
But people still recognize an even wider audience and even more, you know, money,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or more recognition or whatever. I mean, more commodity in some way.
Right.
So they think, well, everybody loves this. Let's try to bring it to even more people.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and then
it'll be a moneymaker, and then I think you take the soul away from the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Cam?
I'm not super happy with this answer, but it's one of the first things I thought of. Halo.
Oh my god, I was going to say something about that.
I feel like there would be so much, if you were to do it live action, I know they've done like a movie that was all computer, but if you were to do something live action, I feel like so much of it would have to be computer generated.
I was going to touch on that as well, because I think if they did try to do it, it'd be too close, like almost like the Doom movie turned out.
Oh god.
Oh really?
That was...
think it would be that bad?
Kind of. Cameron's answer.
It's the same thing, like what you were saying, you know, you think it's unfilmable, you'd like to see it tried anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they made a Halo movie and people were saying good things about it, I would go see it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Here's the thing, if they said that they were going to do a Last of Us movie, you'd still go see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would go see it just to see the clickers.
For the clickers and because, well, one, I'm infinitely curious about who are they going to cast.
Yeah.
Mm.
Josh Brolin.
Probably.
Ellen
Page, no, she won't do it. She tried to sue Last of Us.
Because
of the likeness.
I can see that, though.
Which I think she was pushed to sue by the people who did Beyond Two Souls, though. Because the games came out so I think that they pushed her to do it.
Probably. Mm. Yours was... Halo.
Yeah.
You know, it was really weird about that. Originally, when it was announced that they were going to do a movie and it was going to be Neil Blomkamp doing it, I was all for that because I feel like he could do the perfect marriage of CGI and
practical. You really have to do it right, and there'd be so many good opportunities to do a lot of cool practical effects with the big inflated guys and the little flood spores and everything. Yeah. If you could find a way to do any of that in a practical way, it could be super awesome.
Well, I remember the first time playing Halo and the flood happening and being like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's fucking scary. Yeah.
And thinking, that's the thing. Like, that could, you know, you could do that practically. Even then, I was like, if this was ever a movie, it's the same effects as The Thing, you know, just have it kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, with Spielberg's live-action Halo TV show coming out, we'll see what that... Do you not know about that?
No, I know.
It's an Xbox One exclusive.
Xbox One exclusive live-action Halo show by Steven Spielberg. So.
Wow.
We'll see. Alex, what's your answer for your own question?
Well, not to completely nerd out on this, but this is the first thing that I thought of that I have been saying this for years. The Silmarillion needs to get a mini series. I swear to God, it would be so awesome.
You're on Tolkien's dick.
I've just been in that mood lately. I don't know, but like. And yes, it has been said to be unfilmable because it is so goddamn long. I was gonna say long, but it's like his. His history is comprehensive, but it's just. But like, I mean, each part is basically just a little fable, you know, from that, little tales from Middle Earth or what have you. But I,
little tales.
But
I would watch that.
Right, but
little baby like
little tales from Middle Earth.
Little tales from Middle Earth.
But I mean, there is a lot to explore though. There's like Tolkien's creation myth, which I think is pretty interesting, and like the first war of the gods and all that. Then you have and then you have the war in Beleriand with you know Morgoth and with Arendelle, who's only referenced in you know Lord of the Rings, etc.
And like the origins of Gandalf and Sauron.
Right.
There's a tons and tons.
I mean the story of Beren and Lúthien, which I think is like the longest part of that book. That could be a movie on its own. Mike, do you have something to say?
I do. Science it. No, all right. It's not any secret that I'm not a fan, but I appreciate like.
I mean, right.
Appreciate it. However, I understood six words total the entire time you were talking, and all of them were. Pronouns and
adjectives. I ain't doing this for you, Mike.
I know, I'm just saying. wow, it just sounds like it's so... dense.
It is. Well, I mean, even if not the whole thing, at least part of it, and a part that I haven't touched on yet, the Akalabeth story, which is that's a part that I always thought was really interesting. Basically, for the non Tolkien nerds among us, it's the island of Numenor, which was inhabited by men. You know, like
you and I.
Like you and I, Mike.
Probably more like me, but that's
why. I mean, but I'm not going to go into great detail because we'd be here all night. But
we've already gone into quite a bit of detail.
It's a really like I can see that as being a really like Game of Thrones esque sort of like medieval but with like political intrigue and shit, because I mean that's what it is in the book, and I love that story.
I feel like like you said with Game of Thrones, the climate's probably right for something like that.
Yeah.
A TV show exploring more. of Middle Earth.
Right, and again, it would have to be, there would probably have to be some stuff added to it, sure. because it's not a super expounded upon story, but I think it could be a really interesting expansion on Tolkien's work.
Mallory, what is your roundtable question?
Well, another piece of news that we did not touch on is just as important as the rest. To me.
If you say so.
They announced with the trailer today a new Zelda title that will be a Wii U exclusive that is in the style of Dynasty Warriors. They had some of the producers from Dynasty Warriors kind of collaborate with this idea. So, my question for you is, what genre game would you like to see with paired with what title?
What are you asking?
Cameron.
I actually have an answer for this one right out. Chrono Trigger in the style of Devil May Cry. As in, you take all these characters and all their sweet-ass weapons and everything.
Sweet weapons.
Yeah, and then, but you put it in something that's not turn-based strategy.
Right. Some more action.
So you still level up and everything, but yeah, definitely more action. Hack and slash.
Yeah. I can dig it. Alex.
Okay, I don't know if anyone is familiar with the game Battalion Wars for GameCube.
Sounds like Battleship.
It's not.
Okay.
It's a real-time strategy military game, but it's really like cartoonish.
Up.
You have different types of troops and you're a commander. You choose to deploy them at what times, but you're also in the action fighting with them and all that stuff. It's an incredible game. I love it to death. I would like to see in the style of that game a Pokemon game. Because I feel like Pokemon has gotten so many iterations in sort of, you know, obviously the series has evolved a lot, but there hasn't been a lot of explorations of, like, you know, well, what if it wasn't turn based? What if it were more of a real time strategy game where, you know, you've got all the basic rules, you've got your same Pokemon and everything, but they're they're. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know exactly how it would work, but I think it's something that could be done and could be very, very interesting.
The most obscure game to compare that to.
But it's of a genre that's rather well known. It's a real time strategy.
Yeah, game. I know. But you can pick any other RTS.
But that's the only one that I'm really familiar with.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Mike.
I would like to see a survival horror fighting game. Where you take a bunch of characters and creatures from survival horror, and then it's a fight.
Like a Super Smash Bros. Of just...
Well, more like Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Mm. So like an Injustice style...
Yeah, with like...
Liquors.
Liquors versus clickers. You like that, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've got something in approaching that in Marvel vs. Capcom.
With
and
Chris Redfield.
Right, and but Jill. Yeah. But I mean, that's all Resident Evil. I would love to see him from across, even things like maybe some of the Twisted Metal characters.
Nice, yeah.
Would be cool.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
Because everyone would have such a unique move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be...
It wouldn't feel kind of like a Street Fighter where everyone's move kind of seems a little reminiscent of... Right.
Then you could have like... I mean, and it could be set up like Marvel vs. Capcom where you tag in and stuff like that. Or, you know, one of your powers is to... I feel like one of them could be maybe one of the zombies from Left 4 Dead. Or one of the playable characters from Left 4 Dead, and they call in zombies.
That'd be so cool. Yeah.
Like, they call in a boomer and it just...
There's so much licensing issues.
Well, that's not really the...
I know.
The
anger I know. Memory. But my answer is something that I would absolutely love to see.
What do you want to ask, Cameron?
I did.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger, man.
Oh, yeah. I get to this point in the show every week where I just forget things. Sorry.
I talk about this a lot when I'm on the show, but it's my favorite video game.
Gritty Mega Man reboot. I'm calling it right now.
No.
Damn it.
That's funny, though.
You were pretty good.
I love Bioshock so much.
Put a Bioshock
so much.
A Bioshock RPG.
I'm sorry, I'm not shitting on your idea.
Go on.
I want to know how.
One, the environment.
One.
When you say RPG,
which I'm not style talking RPG?
Like a almost like an Elder Scrolls.
All right, I'm down.
Fallout.
Totally right. Down.
But you are in Rapture, or you know, one of these environments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want you to have access to the alternate universes.
Oh. I'm down. Let's
see. Right?
I'm getting verklempt.
I'm a little verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves.
See, now this is something that I can definitely see happening. I think if Bethesda could develop, Bethesda 2K Games get together and develop a BioShock RPG, and you could just call it Welcome to Rapture.
I'm down.
And then Darth Vader's in it.
He's an NPC.
DLC.
He's one of the townspeople. He tells you what your next mission is. Oh, well, over in Thriftkin, they're having problems with the dragon.
And then Nathan Drake is here for no reason. Yeah, I'm totally down. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We were unsure at first, but you want to say
Yeah,
because I didn't know where that was going.
Did you think like a turn-based life chrono trigger?
That's what I was thinking. I was like,
And then you could like maybe become a Big Daddy. No, like in your version.
Oh. What if it was like a BioWare game where you had decisions and your decisions led you to like a good path or an evil path?
That would be cool. I'd be down with
guys!
That.
Guys!
And we clipped. So, that's a good one. My question this week, we talked about the Blacklist a little bit earlier and how some of the entries this year have been about the making of films or people's lives. If you had to pick a movie, kind of like Hitchcock, where it was about Hitchcock and the making of Psycho, that you would want to see the making of a film, what would it be? Who would either make it or who would be in it? Alex.
Well, my answer.
Yes.
Is my answer to this very well phrased question, Mike?
Fuck yourself, Alex.
I really want to get an inside look into Werner Herzog's mind always, and the best film for that I think would be Akira: The Wrath of God or Akira der Zorn Gottes for
whoa.
those germophiles in here.
German files. Sounds awful.
Germophiles.
That sounds like
people like
germs.
Yeah. When you're talking about the titles and movies.
That's his Werner Herzog impression.
I mean, it kind of turned into P.O.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They're both German. Reek!
But like it's just such a bizarre, I mean amazing but bizarre movie, and you have like I mean obviously Herzog has always had legends surrounding his movies, you know, like cast deaths in every other film and
holding a gun to what's his face,
mm-hmm.
Kinski
and that's the main thing, just getting to see, you know, Klaus Kinski being fucking crazy on a film set, which and obviously if it were like if it were like sort of a film made about it, Willem Dafoe, like I want to see Willem Dafoe do that, obviously, but
naturally. Or do a making up of Werner Herzog's Nosferatu with him reprising his role as Max Schreck, well now this time as Klaus Kinski,
right,
but playing essentially the same character twice. That's a good one. Mallory.
Mike.
What was the question?
What is it?
Not to go back to...
Oh, God. Going back to the well.
But I know we just talked a lot about the Joker, but I really want to see the making of The Dark Knight.
Who's going to play Heath Ledger in that?
Me. Me, Mike. I will.
Matt Damon?
I don't know.
Really?
Who finished off his role in... Imaginarium.
Four different people.
Yeah. So now I don't know who would play him. To be
Forrest
honest,
Forrest Whitaker.
Who's gonna play Batman?
Please.
Who's gonna play Christian Bale?
Jiggles.
always Jiggles.
Matt Damon.
I feel like you couldn't make this movie now.
No, you would have to wait
years.
A while.
Yeah,
sure.
Not.
But it would be one of those things I'd really like to see.
Too soon.
An insight of the descent into madness that kind of came with Heath Ledger trying to portray this role. As well as when the movie releasing, the cast and crew dealing with his death
Robert Pattinson.
And people.
And then Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson's just.
Our Pats.
He plays Christopher Nolan.
Oh, you know who could play Christopher Nolan?
Anybody in a blazer.
This guy could
play Nick Cage.
He could play Christopher
Nolan. Oh, yeah, in 20 years. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can see it.
That's essentially Christopher
Nolan. And we're not going to tell you who it is. So
oh, see, that Dane DeHaan is playing.
Is that the Chronicle kid?
Yeah. And he's
Dane DeHaan.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see these two next to each other. Cameron. Your answer while I look
this up. Apocalypse Now.
Really?
Yes. There's so much material about the making of the movie. There's a documentary.
Oh my god.
There's
I'm brilliant. Sorry.
There's tons of stuff. It's just an interesting situation because he had just made, you know, he had all this success with The Godfather, you know, the two-part thing, and then he was spending all this money, and people, you know, were publicly like being like, "Is Apocalypse win?" You know, and it took him over a year to make it, I think, or over a year to shoot it, which is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it out of the country, and it just seemed so amazing. It would be like Tropic Thunder, but serious. Yeah. I mean, there'd be some funny parts probably, but like, it would just be epic.
Who's playing Brando?
Oh jeez. Oh you. Right.
Naturally. Right. But really.
That's a tough question. I give for Coppola or I mean, I think you do this movie after Coppola's dead, maybe in 20 years or so. Christian Bale at this point.
Oh right.
May have put on a few pounds and can look real, you know,
I can see it.
Beardy. As far as Marlon Brando, that'd be the toughest part. And supposedly, I remember them talking about like getting that scene with Marlon Brando and how it's none of it's scripted; it's all just improv.
He was drunk,
and he would just go babble on and on for hours. And part of what's in the movie is what they took from it. You know,
I think maybe a few years from now, with some prosthetics, Giamatti.
Dude.
Did.
Jack Black.
Jack Black as Marlon Brando in the face.
Robert Pattinson.
Arpads
as Jagel as Paul Giamatti.
My answer is. Did I have an answer? Did we talk about this?
Uh oh. I don't know.
Oh man. There's somebody trying to get in the house.
Oh jeez.
We're gonna die.
This is our last podcast. For Aubrey's home. Yay! My answer would be. So, Joe Hill wrote this really great story called Bobby Conroy Back from the Dead. And it's about a guy who moves back to Pittsburgh after like a failed comedy career. And is a zombie extra during the making of Dawn of the Dead. And I think something, I mean, not, obviously, I really want to make that movie, but I think a making of Dawn of the Dead, because it was so, either Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead, because they're so kind of revolutionary, what they did for the genre, and socially. And I think that Robert Englund could play George Romero.
Oh.
Yes.
You could. Tom Savini plays Tom Savini, though. Savini is Savini all day long. But I think that one would be really cool.
Savini is Savini.
So yeah, that would be one. I can think of a lot of horror movies I'd love to see.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Texas Chainsaw would be a great one.
That'd be awesome.
Because of just what a hellish.
That's what I've always heard. It was
that, and also like the surround, like there was mob of, like association behind the scenes with that.
What?
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, there's the I think it's called The Saw's Family.
The Saw's Family?
Which is the documentary about it.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. So insincere.
No,
I know you're not. I know, but it just sounded, you know.
All right, Mike.
Wow, really?
You're amazing.
Yeah. That's my answer.
It's a good answer.
So there's
it's not a bad answer.
I can think of, you know, just a ton of them. But man, Texas Chainsaw, that'd be a great one.
Eraserhead would be cool.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
No.
That movie would be even more bizarre than Eraserhead.
Just thinking about Blue Velvet.
Oh.
We're making a Blue Velvet.
Well, I was going to say it took David Lynch like 2 years to film Eraserhead.
It was a while.
And I've heard that the guy who played the main character was just an insane person.
Really?
Like, I think he died in like a bar fight or something crazy.
Jesus
like that.
Jesus Christ.
And I've also heard that he kept that hair
the whole time.
Wow.
Oh,
These are all just rumors. I saw all this on Jezebel.com, so who knows?
What is Jezebel.com?
But look at this. Come on. That's right? Mm-hmm. Like,
I see the resemblance.
Mike is going back and forth between Mr. Dane DeHaan and Christopher Nolan and comparing their pictures. And they're kind
20,
of...
20
they're
years
pretty
from
similar.
Now.
They're pretty similar, although, you know who I think would be a better Christopher Nolan?
Oh.
Bob Odenkirk.
Wow.
Get at me. Get at me. Look at that picture.
We'll see. Bob
Odenkirk is...
Come on, though.
Let's see.
Christopher Nolan.
No. Smaller face.
I don't think Bob Odenkirk could do the accent.
Mm-mm.
Personally.
We'll see. Maybe a dramatic will get going with Better Call Saul.
True.
But it would be funny.
Yeah, it would be funny.
Like, if nothing else, it would be funny.
The movie that documents the making of Dark Knight is not going to be funny.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
It's not going to have quirky little doot-doot-doot-doot music behind it.
Well, man, that was a good show. That was a damn good show.
We did,
gang.
Guys.
Yeah.
This time, we don't even need a bigger show. Like, we had a big enough show as it is.
It was a big show.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be bigger. It was plenty big.
XXXL! I don't know why I keep doing that voice. You're done with my voice.
Die, bigger show, die. So
he did it.
Yeah, I did the thing that I do. Well, good show, gang. Be proud.
I'm very proud. I have just made the greatest video game to ever happen in the world.
You really did. We won't be here next week. Enjoy your holiday. We will be releasing some content. Go and vote for our Christmas throwdown contest. There's still a couple days left to do that. And we're gonna need a bigger show.
Charles Cameron B. Bruce. Champ Cameron.
Burns. Mallory I.
Oh, God. Don't be a dick.
Alex.
Alex.
And I've been Mike D. Thank y'all for listening, and have a very happy holiday.
Keep it slutty.